This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Alrighty, gang. Happy Monday. My name is Dan Muir. I am in for Scott Watley. He is off today, and so he asked me to fill in, so there you go. You're stuck with me. And if you don't know who I am the co-host of Rush to Reason, and you can catch me and John here every day from 3 to 6 right here on KLZ 560. There's a lot going on in the world, and I'm going to bring up a really good friend of mine and a friend of the program, and that is Mr. Jeff Kitty, and he is the owner of Larry's Automotive and Transmission out there in Westminster. Jeff, how are you on this fine Monday?
No, I'm just fantastic, Dan. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm a little concerned, as you know, the somebody, I guess it was the Iranians or somebody, decided to take out some oil refineries or some oil distribution in Saudi Arabia, and I wonder what that's going to do to our gas prices.
No, I think it should put us in the catbird seat myself.
The catbird seat.
Seems how we're... Yeah, we're exporting more oil, so I would think that we might be able to help them make up for some of the shortage there.
Yeah, well, I think it's 5 million barrels a day right now they're going to be short.
Yeah. I don't know if we can come up with that much, but
this is America. This is America. We can do anything. We can make it happen.
Yep,
that's right.
If we put our minds to it, we can.
Yeah, well, I was glad to see that.
Definitely can.
Yeah, I was glad to see that President Trump decided to say, "Hey, you know what? If we need to, we'll use the oil reserves or the fuel reserves, and we'll keep this economy going. We're not going to have any shortages." I'm glad he was proactive like that right away, because I noticed that this morning, anyway, at the pumps, there wasn't any sort of spike that you would normally expect with news like this.
Well, and there shouldn't be. I mean, I don't know. You know, you'd have to get with Stanley on that, but I don't know what we actually refine for ourselves out of our own oil. But I would imagine that we should be able to ramp that up fairly quickly and keep it fairly status quo as it is right now. With just the American market the way it is, I would hope that we would have the foresight to not ship oil that we need to somebody else.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought, or maybe even dilemma, because it's a world oil market, and we participate in the world oil market. For decades, we were not allowed to ship out any oil, and then just before Trump became president, Barack Obama opened us up into the world market where we could ship oil out of the country again. And so it'll be interesting to see how all that happens, you know, how everything flows, if prices stay the same, if we're able to make up for the lack of worldwide oil, because I believe that, you know, Japan and China use a lot of the Middle Eastern oil now that we don't. I think we're using a lot of our own. But once again, it still brings up the question of, you know, how does that affect the world market? And if you're under contract, let's say you're an American oil company, you're under contract with, I don't know, just throw out anybody, the French, you know, do you still have to ship that if you start having issues back here? You know, I don't know.
Well, that could be one possibility, but, you know, at this point in time, I don't think it's a panic situation. My gut feeling is that knowing the Saudis the way they do, they will have it under control in a short amount of time.
Yeah, I would think so. That's their lifeblood.
I just can't, you know, they don't export a lot of sand. And, of course, that's maybe a mean thing to say. But
well, let's see. They have oil and sand, so they can export one or the other. Which one do you think has more of a market?
I have no idea. Oh. I mean, you know, I guess in some places where they don't have sand, it might be a great market.
Well, it might be. Who knows? Maybe there's just this run on playgrounds where they need to, you know, have, you know, sandboxes and stuff for the kiddos. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I would think their lifeblood is oil, and I think you're right. I think they'll get that thing going back up here pretty quick.
I can't see them sitting back and letting it burn and stuff like that. I imagine they'll have them under control in a very short amount of time. You know,
yes, sir.
Where's Red Adair when you need them, right?
That's right. So you are the owner of Larry's Automotive and Transmission. You've been a sponsor here on KLZ for quite a while now. And the reason I wanted to have you on is I wanted to once again introduce you to the Haystack Help Radio audience. And one of the reasons I start off with current events, Jeff, is because your KLZ is a God and Country station. We're very patriotic, and so is Jeff Kitty. And Jeff, tell people a little bit about yourself, and tell us a little bit about Larry's Automotive and Transmission.
Well, I grew up in the North Denver area. I'm 62 years old. And I've been in the automotive repair business since the late 70s. I've owned this shop since 94. It was my first entrepreneurial adventure, and it's been a wild ride, that's for darn sure. We try to keep our prices fair and try to do our work as best we can and make our customers as happy as we possibly can and keep it within their budget. It just amazes me how much car repairs have gone up, just due to the complexity of the cars. Back when I first started, we were doing, transmission overhauls complete for probably around $500-$600. And now they're getting up towards, $35,000 to $5,000 pretty easily on some cars. There's still a few of the cheaper ones out there, but it's just amazing of how much the technology has changed and how much we've had to tool up for the technology.
Would you say though that the longevity of the transmissions, that they last longer than they used to? Are they built better today than they were back in the 70s?
Most definitely. When I first got into the business, we were building Chevy 350 transmissions at about 30,000-40,000 miles. Now, it's not uncommon to see one come in for a repair around 180. We've had a couple come in around 260 in that area. So, I mean, it's just... they are definitely living longer, and cars in general are living longer. I remember when I was a kid, my dad was having a fit because his car had over 70,000 miles on it, and he thought it was going to start creating a bunch of problems for him. And, back then, I guess that was kind of the case. You get 100,000 miles on a car, and it was... you could have some issues with it. But back then also, we didn't have the maintenance standards that we recommend that we do now. And we didn't, the vehicles weren't produced with the manufacturer tolerance for what we've got now. And the technology has definitely created higher mileage vehicles for the consumer. So, but they had to for what they're spending on vehicles now. They have to provide a good quality product.
Well, I'll tell you, and as you know, since you work on my cars, that it's living proof that if you maintain a vehicle, if you do preventative maintenance, you can squeeze a lot of miles out of them. I mean, my Mazda CX-9, and you guys have been working on it exclusively since I bought it. It just turned over 250,000 miles a couple weeks ago, and it still has the original engine, the original transmission. We've had to change out a few other parts here and there, but for the most part, to get a 250,000 miles out of a car, to me, is miraculous. I've been around, I've been driving cars, since the 80s, and, even back then, cars didn't last as long as they do now, typically. And this is not like a car that, it's a, 2011. So what does that make it? 7-8 years old. And and I put a lot of miles on it. Jeff, you've ridden with me. I'm not the gentlest of drivers.
No, it's kind of low level flying when you're riding with Dan. he thinks he's in the airplane.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the whole idea of driving is to get from point A to point B as quickly and, of course, as safely as possible.
That's for sure. I mean, yeah, and that, you know, and I think that's pretty much today's driver right now. Predominantly, you know, and this started on the West Coast. You know, they were putting on tons of miles for commuting in California. I mean, it was nothing to commute 50, 60 miles a day for your job. And we see that now, people doing the same thing here. The thing that's changed is the cars are being built better, you know, and obviously wages have, I don't know that they've gone up, but for economic times, I wonder just how much wages have actually gone up for what we, you know, compared to what we were doing back in the 70s and 80s. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
The big thing is that maintenance has become something that the general public did not do very well on, and a lot of people are getting educated fairly quickly on the fact that if they take and do the oil changes and the transmission services and, you know, get their car checked out thoroughly about twice a year at the minimum, that you're going to have a lot less breakdowns and problems like that. You know, and part of the issue, our job is to keep you from having the major repair. We want to be there for them when they need the major repair, but our practice is we want to perform maintenance on your vehicle to keep it so that you don't have those major breakdowns. You know, the overheating engines, the dead batteries, the car that won't start, the emergency tune-up type situation. That way the customer can plan their time around it.
Well, yeah, and one of the other things you guys do a really good job of, too, is that, you know, I mean, because I'm a high-mileage driver, I'm supposed to have my car in about every two and a half weeks in for oil change. And, you know, sometimes I even hit that. But one of the things that you guys do that's really good is you go through the car, you do an inspection. And like when I had the Sonata in there the other day, you were telling me, you know, the brakes are at this, the tires are at that. And so next oil change, you know, you got to keep a close eye on this. And, you know, watching filters. I mean, just even simple things like the air filter for the engine. Those get dirty pretty quick when you're a high mileage driver, you know, time wise. And if you don't keep those kinds of things clean, that affects your mileage. Is that true?
Oh, definitely. All that stuff affects your mileage. As you've been educated on, probably one of the most neglected filters on a vehicle right now is a cabin air filter.
Oh, that is so true. And it's amazing because you'll think your air conditioner is broken, but it could be your cabin air filter is just plugged.
Yeah, and it's going to be the same. You know, we're coming into the winter season when you need your defroster. And in order to get that to work properly, it's got to have good airflow. So, you know, the cabin air filter is like the furnace filter in your home. You need to change it on a regular basis. And, you know, and that has a lot to depend on where you drive and the dusty conditions you drive in and stuff like that. But, you know, we've had, I don't know how many vehicles come in and, you know, they're not getting any air out of their heater and the air conditioning isn't working right. And we look at the cabin air filter and it's just packed with leaves and
how do they get in there, Jeff? How do they get in there? Well, one time mine had like
we had one Coke cans in it.
Yeah, how did that ever happen? I've got pictures to prove it.
I think there was a prankster involved on that one.
Very well could have been. All righty, man. Hey, so let's when we come back from the break, let's talk about, once again, the importance of preventative maintenance and getting things scheduled and some of the features and benefits of taking your car to Larry's Automotive. And you're listening to Haystack Help Radio. I'm Dan Muir. I am in for Scott Whatley, and we'll be right back.
With rates going down, now is the time to stop paying all that unnecessary interest. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. We have shown hundreds of our clients how to pay less interest to the bank and own their home faster without changing their spending habits. Want to see how? Attend our next seminar, September 17th at 6:30 p.m. Call 720-895-0500 or go to aimortgage.com/events to attend the Memory Lane Museum with 10,000 square feet of classic cars, old-fashioned diner where we serve you dinner and ice cream sundaes. There's an Elvis Presley motorcycle, bumper cars, train sets, and much more. We offer loans from $100,000 to over $1 million. Same rate. Second homes, investment properties, or primary residence. Quit overpaying interest. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. 720-895-0500 or go to aimortgage.com/events to reserve your seat September 17th at 6:30 p.m. at the Memory Lane Museum. Join us for dinner and more. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. NMLS 298-191, regulated by DORA, Equal Credit Lender.
Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. Listen, I've trusted my pets to Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center for over 11 years, and you can too. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they believe all pets deserve to have a good life. Whether your furry friend needs a checkup, advanced medical care surgery, boarding, grooming, obedience training, food, care products, or hey, just toys, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center has you covered. Open 7 days a week for your convenience, and they're located at 8681 East Lincoln Avenue in Lone Tree. Learn more at LoneTreeVet.com or give them a call, 303-708-8050. That's 303-708-8050. Tell them Scott sent you.
The tingling and numbness in your feet started a long time ago, and it's only gotten worse. It's finally getting to the point where you can't sleep at night. It's starting to affect your balance, and although your doctor prescribed medication, you worry about the side effects. Dr. Dean Anderson, chiropractor with Front Range Medical Center, offers an advanced treatment for peripheral neuropathy that can greatly reduce your nerve pain. Regain feeling and mobility without taking prescription medications. At Front Range Medical Center, Dr. Anderson and his team treat the source of the nerve pain using one of the most advanced forms of electronic medicine to help their patients experience long-term success. You know the problem won't go away on its own. Call Dr. Dean Anderson today and mention Haystack Help Radio to receive a $27 consultation, including a neuropathy-specific exam and a review of your health history. Find out whether or not you could be a candidate for this advanced treatment. Call 720-851-9694, 720-851-9694. You have nothing to lose but pain.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Damn, you're in for Scott Watley. Along with me is Jeff Kitty, the owner of Larry's Automotive and Transmission over there in Westminster. And you can always find Larry's Automotive and Transmission by going to larrysauto.biz. That's larrysauto.biz, or you can give Jeff a call over there at 303-427-2108. And I'll tell you what, gang, I trust him with my cars. You can trust him with yours. And, you know, Jeff, that's one of the things that's really important just about in any business relationship anymore is the trust between the customer and the provider. And what I really like about going over there to Larry's is that you guys – tell it how it is without making me feel like an idiot. Because as you know, I've hosted Drive Radio with you. You're the technician. I'm the comic relief. I know nothing about cars.
Well, and the biggest thing that has been my goal is to make the customer understand what they're buying. You know, I can sell brakes and rotors and this and that and all day long. But if I've got a customer that understands why he has to buy that particular part and why that service is needed, then I've done my job, you know, and Larry and I are both pretty good about putting the customers hopefully at ease about what they're buying and educating them as to why they're buying it, why they have to buy it, and possibly what they could have done to keep this from happening in the future. We've had such a good training base with the Drive Radio show that every weekend that we're on there, we learn something You know, it's not just for the listeners, it's for the people that are on the show, because we learn how people describe complaints. We, you know, they use terminology that we might not have heard, and that helps us understand what the customer needs a little bit more. So, I mean, that show in itself has probably helped me grow as a business person from a standpoint of I understand the customer a lot better than I did when I first started.
Yeah, so when you have somebody like me call you up and say, hey, Jeff, that thingamajigger underneath the front right wheel is making a funny-sounding noise.
Yeah, it's going rack-a-da-dack-a-da-dack, something like that.
Right.
You know, we're trying to figure up. I mean, you figure out what's going on with it and stuff like that. And, you know, a lot of times we definitely have to see the car, but sometimes we can get pretty close to what's going on. You know, we had a guy come in last week that swore up and down his transmission was bad, and it ended up being a catalytic converter issue. So, I mean, and that's a lot, that it was still expensive, but it was still a lot less than what the transmission would have been. So, I mean, and that's, you know, that's part of the, and sometimes it's a hard part, because getting the vehicle diagnosed right the first time is the most important thing, and understanding what's going on. Now, in some cases, you go by what the codes are telling you, and you check out where those codes come from, what reacts to set those codes, and stuff like that. And a lot of times it might, you know, it might be a, you know, an O2 sensor code, and you find out you got a vacuum leak up, you know, up ahead of that O2 sensor, and that's why the code's there. It's not because the O2 sensor's bad. It's just telling you that, hey, I'm seeing this. This is a concern. We need to get this fixed. It doesn't mean that just because you got an O2 sensor code doesn't mean that you got to replace an O2 sensor.
Exactly. And one of the things that really sets you guys apart is in your name. It's Larry's Automotive and Transmission. So a lot of shops out there don't work on transmissions. Maybe they don't even understand transmissions. Sometimes they'll say, well, we think you have a transmission problem, and it may not be one. And that's why it's really important, if you think you might have one or it's something related, to bring it out to you, because you guys can really diagnose it and find out for sure if it's a transmission related issue, just like with your catalytic converter.
And we sure try. I mean, you know, we've had some vehicles that have stumped us, you know, as far as what's going on. But there again, we subscribe to several tech services and stuff like that we can ask questions to and find, you know, get good quality answers and give us a direction to go on some of that stuff. And, you know, anymore, we're in such an information age that there's no way that we can know everything about every car that comes through.
And there are major differences, right? I mean, a Chevy and a Subaru, they're not the exact same car, are they?
Well, they work under the same principles, but they do things different. You know, their platform on how they do their emissions control might be a little different than what Chevy does or Ford or Chrysler or whatever, but you know, the one thing that throws you off is when they don't use the codes, they use the OEM style codes, and you have to go in and decipher which code it is and stuff like that. When OBD2 came out, we got blessed with, you know, these are a certain set of codes, and if this happens, it's going to set this code. So that kind of generalized a lot of things and made our life a lot easier when it came to diagnosing cars and trying to figure out what's going on and stuff like that, you know. And there's been times when, you know, we put the scanner on there and we've got, you know, 20 or 30 different codes. And I mean, it's like, man, this thing can't be that bad, you know. So
was that my car?
Well, not yet, but it's coming.
No, it can't be.
But you know, the thing is that we have to look for the similarities to help narrow down the search, and we try to do that as efficient as possible. Biggest problem that we have is when we do an oil change anymore, you know, an oil change, we're not a quick lube and we don't even profess to be. But what we do look for is we look for possible problems that are going to be a problem for the customer. And that's one of the reasons why 80% of the time we really like it if the customer can make an appointment and leave the car with us. And we could check it out thoroughly as far as brakes, belts, hoses. You know, what's the coolant doing? What's, is the battery going to last for through the winter? And, you know, what's things look like there? You know, and if we see something that we don't like, we can tell the customer that, hey, this might need attention and, you know, we need to keep an eye on it. Or if we see something that's just glaringly bad, we can probably take care of it for them at that point in time. A lot of times, you know, we've had, I don't know how many customers take their vehicle to the dealer or another shop, and they come in for a second opinion. And, we'll, you know, I don't even want to know what somebody else told you is wrong. I want to go through the car and take a look at it and see what I find wrong. And then after we find what we find, the customer's got any other concerns, we can go from there.
Yeah, match it up and see who's saying what and where it is. And
exactly. So,
I've got just about a minute left, Jeff. And, by the way, I was on your website, and that's larrysauto.biz. And it says vehicles we service, and Mazda should be first. I'm just saying. Should be right on the very front. Mazda. Black,
well, what can I say?
Black Mazda.
I'll have to talk to your sister.
So, anyway, hey, so if people want to get a hold of you, they call 303-427-2108, I guess they can email you, Jeff, at larrysautomotivewestminster.com, or they can always go to larrysauto.biz. So,
yeah.
Jeff, hey, thank you and so much. Go ahead.
Well, we don't live on the internet, on the computer, because we're busy working. So if it takes us a little bit to get back to you, we try to answer all those emails that we get and all the questions. And I try and do that at least twice, maybe three times a day.
Wonderful. And hey, man, thank you for joining me for this half hour. Really appreciate you. And we'll talk to you soon. All right.
It's a pleasure.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
All righty. Up next is Dr. Shane Steadman. Keep it tuned right here to Haystack Help Radio.
What could you do with an extra $500, $1,000, or even $1,500 per month? How would that change things for you? Would you buy a new car, pay off bills, or just feel a bit more secure about your retirement? What if I told you there's a way to make your dreams a reality? I'm talking about trading and investing in the market. Now, before you say, oh, that's not for me, just hear me out. I want to invite you to a half-day trading course so you can check this out. I promise you, you'll go away smarter than when you came in. We here at Online Trading Academy sponsor this, and we'll even send you home with a free home study video guide. Your money's doing nothing for you in a CD or mutual fund. Learn how to profit when the market's up or down. Call us now while seats are still available at 303-325-2776. Use offer code RADIO50. 303-325-2776. That's 303-325-2776.
After an accident, think about flesh and back law. After your accident, you didn't think it was a big deal. You didn't think you were injured. You didn't think you'd ever hurt that much. You didn't think you'd have to miss work. You didn't think physical therapy would take so long. You didn't think there'd be so many hospital bills. You didn't think that the insurance company would take so long and give so little. You definitely didn't think you'd ever be in this situation, but you are. After an accident, think Flesh and Beck Law. Flesh and Beck have the experience and the knowledge to think about all the details you didn't know you'd have to worry about. They will answer all of your questions and help you to determine if you are entitled to compensation for your pain and suffering. After an accident, think Flesh and Beck Law. 303-806-8886. 303-806-8886. Call today to find out if they can help you.
David R. Cishon, certified estate planner and registered financial consultant, specializes in working with people who are planning for retirement and retired clients who want to preserve and grow their assets.
Education is the greatest equalizer is my theme. It's always been. More people know, the better their decisions are, and the more comfortable they become. So when people come in, we take, some people say, an excessive amount of time learning about the client themselves, who they are, what are their feelings. I don't care how much assets they have. If their assets are important to them, that's critical to me.
Call now for your free consultation with David C. Shawn of Householder Group, 720-482-1917. That's 720-482-1917. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Householder Group Estate and Retirement Specialist, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Denver's Afternoon Rush. Rush to Reason is coming up at 3. Now, back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome to Your Health Matters, sponsored by Integrated Health Systems. Traditional medicine has left you frustrated. You've seen doctor after doctor searching for answers, only to feel more confused than ever. Chiropractic neurologist Dr. Shane Stedman, along with his team at Integrated Health Systems, does the detective work you need to identify causes, not just treat your symptoms. Using a team approach to combine functional medicine with neurology, Integrated Health Systems spends the necessary time with each client to find out what's really going on. Thanks to Dr. Stedman and his team, many clients who struggle with debilitating health issues have finally found relief. Now, Haystack Help Radio proudly presents Your Health Matters.
Alrighty, everybody. Welcome to Your Health Matters with chiropractic neurologist Dr. Shane Stedman of Integrated Health Systems. I'm Dan Muir. I am in for Scott Whatley today. And if you don't know me, I'm the co-host of Rush to Reason. And you can catch me and John Rush along with Cam Spiracy and Charlie Grimes today at 3 o'clock on Denver's Afternoon Rush. And Dr. Stedman, it's great to be on with you again.
It's good to be on with you. It's always fun.
You never know what you're going to get, do you?
No.
Believe it or not, we're going to talk about blood sugar today. And this is one of the things that I actually kind of harp on. And I think that we've been led down the primrose path with starting with the food pyramid. I think they loaded us up with sugar. Then all of a sudden they said, hey, you guys got blood sugar problems. And I don't think we were ever supposed to eat like that. To begin with, all these breads and processed sugars, refined sugars. I mean, and I love Krispy Kreme donuts. Don't get me wrong. Love them. But what they do to me, and this, I'll just tell you what they do to me, is when I eat breads, pastas, you know, things with lots of carbs and sugars in it, I feel terrible afterwards. And I start to, like, I get inflammation where I feel like I'm all bloated and I feel kind of look like, well, the Pillsbury Doughboy. Is this common?
It's very common. Your descriptions are always great. It is very, very common. Sugar. I'll start off kind of at the beginning of your story there. I agree. You know, and there's, you know, on what we should eat and what we shouldn't eat. That's why you see a lot of these people talking about paleo diets and caveman diets. You know, and I think the reality is we definitely have way more foods at our disposal than people did way back in the day, but that's why when you look at things like caveman diets, paleo diets, and those types of things, it's like meat and vegetables. You know, so some people say you should only eat what you can kill or harvest. You know, and so obviously we can't harvest and kill Krispy Kreme donuts. You know, so if you talk to that group of people, they'll say, like, you know, Krispy Kreme is out and cakes are out and cookies are out and, you know, having this awesome ice cream, you know, because those are things that you just can't kill and raise and grow.
Now, I got to interrupt you here just for a second. I really do believe that ice cream is naturally made. You can find it, you know, in the woods. I believe cavemen had it because I love ice cream.
Me too. So I think that the irony behind all of this, when we kind of look at how we eat now compared to what they did back then, is definitely, like you said, there's a lot more carbs, there's a lot more sugars, a lot more processed foods, a lot more chemicals, you know. So when you look at sugars, and we'll kind of pick on that since we've been talking about blood sugar, but when you look at sugars, it's very inflammatory, you know. And so you do look bloated. People do get swollen. You can eat a lot of sugar and then realize, hey, my rings just don't fit, you know. So that's
exactly.
Definitely super, super common.
Exactly. And then the sugar, I think, too, that there's sugar hidden in things where you don't normally think of sugar. Okay, so if you're eating a cake or ice cream or, you know, Twinkies or Krispy Kremes or whatever it is, you know this is loaded with sugar. But I don't think a lot of people realize that when you do like I did today, which I shouldn't have done, I was starving, so I went through Burger King and got a croissant sandwich. The croissant was fantastic, but it wasn't 20 minutes later and my ring was all tight around my finger again.
Yep.
And so there's got to be sugar in breads and stuff. Is that true?
Oh yeah, I mean there's definitely sugars in your breads and pastries and all those kind of things. But you know what's even fascinating is they, like you said, they actually do put sugars in a lot of hidden foods. I even heard, and I don't know the companies and definitely won't put it on air because I don't know for sure. But I remember hearing one point in the land of spaghetti sauce, yeah. I heard there was certain companies that added sugar to their spaghetti sauce because sugar is actually one of the most addictive substances.
I believe it.
You know, so if I put sugar in my product, then you're going to like that and you're going to buy it more. And so I've heard this is the case with some of these companies that are trying to compete for shelf space. You know, then they'll put sugar and people will gravitate and want that more and more and more and more as part of like that addictive piece. So it's in everything. It's almost hard to get away from, and I think that's why we're definitely seeing that kind of epidemic in our world.
Okay, and we're talking with chiropractic neurologist Dr. Shane Stedman of Integrated Health Systems. So, Doc, tell us how sugar works within our bodies and our system.
You know, so sugars aren't all bad. So we don't want to like demonize them and say, hey, you know, sugar is the worst thing for you. You know, our body can actually take those carbs. You know, vegetables have carbs, you know, just like cookies, but obviously the vegetables are better. Now, when we consume sugars.
Now, hold it, Doc. When you say obviously, I'm not so sure about that. But okay, go ahead.
Okay. So we'll take out the word obviously. So we'll let people know that, you know, vegetables are still, they still are a carb, but they're considered a complex carb.
Okay.
And then you have Krispy Kreme, which is a simple carb. And they're definitely getting a lot of publicity, aren't they, for two
Yeah,
seconds.
They are. They should be paying for this.
They should send free donuts to everybody.
Please.
But those are, that's a donut is more of a simple carb. So that simple carb, it will that'll hit your system really fast. And when you consume a simple carb, you get this really fast kind of spike in your sugar, in your blood sugar, because all that just hits your system. And then your pancreas is alerted and says, hey, you know, that is way too high. You know, we need fuel, but we don't need that much fuel. So we're going to counteract it with insulin. So insulin then comes in, and it drops that glucose down. So it's there, and it's a nice protective mechanism. So that's kind of what happens with simple carbs. Now, when we get into complex carbs like, you know, fruit and vegetables, we'll say mainly vegetables, we can look at sweet potatoes and things like that, those have fiber. And fiber is really helpful at slowing down that sugar response. And so if you have an apple, then you'll get a nice rise and a nice fall. Where if you have a donut, you get a spike up and a spike down. And that's kind of your difference that you kind of see within our body. So if somebody's consuming sugars and pastries and carbs, they're constantly getting these spikes up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. And over time, what happens is that demand for the insulin just cannot keep up. So then you start seeing the blood sugars go higher and higher and higher and higher. And then that's what leads to prediabetes and then eventually diabetes if you can't get it under control.
So now we've had this discussion before in the past. Your body needs sugar just like it needs salt, but both sugar and salt have been demonized. And is sugar probably justifiably so? Is it demonized because of the delivery systems that have been just totally modified over the years? And I'm talking about, once again, all the processed foods. Is that what's causing all the spikes with people in sugar?
I think that's a great, you did a great job kind of summarizing that. So yes, you know, I think if we go back to that kind of caveman mentality, you know, you would have a steak and you would have potatoes. Let's even use something this simple. I mean, steak and potatoes have kind of been demonized too.
Yeah, you know? It sure has.
But you know, the potato, if you get into like a sweet potato, you know, that has that more fibrous complex carb versus a white potato, which is more starchy. So that's why you have to rinse off, you know, if you make hash browns, you got to rinse off all the starch, you know. That's what makes french fries really awesome. I think mm-hmm. you and I have talked about french fries
yes,
before.
Yes, I love french fries.
You know, so, and then if you put a salad with it, then you have this fiber. So now you have okay. things that you've grown, but the fiber in the salad, the complex carb of the sweet potato, and the protein of the steak, they really slow down that that nice sugar rise and fall, and that gives you sustained energy over the next couple 2 to 3 hours. So that's why you shouldn't get hungry like within an hour, you know. But I think, like you said, with like how we process foods and how we're making foods and manufacturing of foods and making everything so simplistic, which is good in some aspects, now we got all these like fast foods, fast grab and go kind of things that just drive the blood sugar all over the planet, and you just can't control it over time. And there's no fibers, there's no protein, there's nothing really to slow it down. So it just hammers your system day after day after day, and then eventually just causes issues.
Well, let's talk about fiber. I'm kind of like Scott Watley. Scott, I don't even think Scott knows that green food exists. I don't think Scott knows about green beans or salads or anything. Scott's a hunter, meat eater type guy, and I'm kind of like that too. I am. Oh my gosh, that, you know, my wife's like, hey, you need to make a salad. I would rather just, you know, shoot myself. I'm just, no. Okay, so but fiber is important. So I take a fiber supplement. Do fiber supplements help if you're just so resistant to eating? And then tell us about fiber and how it works.
Oh, you know, so yes, fiber is helpful when it would be helpful. It's a little bit in a way of kind of cheating the system, so to speak, in my opinion. But it's better than nothing because you want that fiber. That fiber is really important because it helps with detoxification. Fiber actually can help with like some of your hormone regulation, some blood sugar regulations. It can actually bind up some like toxins. And this is why salads and vegetables are great for you because they do all these kind of things. So if you're not getting those through your veggies, then to supplement with fiber is not a bad idea. So I'm on board with that. You know, definitely doing the vegetables are better because then you get a lot of those minerals and vitamins and pieces that are not in meat, you know, not in French fries. So now you get your calcium and magnesium and potassium and manganese and copper, and you get some really amazing things, and that's what helps the system go and go and go. So if you can ever find certain veggies, or even, you know, actually what's not a bad idea is if there's some really amazing like green powders out there that don't taste bad. There's one that even has like a mint flavor to it. Ooh. And you could mix that up, and now you're actually like getting all of this nice like fiber and things that come from veggies, but you're getting it in a smoothie green drink form. Find something like that, you know, and you can add some fiber to that smoothie, and that would be amazing.
See, that makes sense to me because I tell you what, I'd rather drink it than eat it. Let me ask you this, though. I mean, to get enough fiber, if let's say you're going to do it the natural way, the eating it way, do I like have to eat a whole garden every day to get enough fiber, or how much fiber is enough?
Oh, you know, it's a great question, and here's the answer that I've learned over the years, and I think this is tough, but here's the truest answer I've heard. There should be about a 4-to-1 ratio of vegetables to protein. So if you look at meat, let's say you had a 4-ounce steak.
Okay.
By that definition, you should have 16 ounces of vegetables. Now, that's a lot. Like, and you even said it. It's like eating a garden.
Or eating the whole garden.
Yeah, eating the whole garden. So, you know, if you tell most patients that, they're like, you are out of your mind, you right. know. But I think it also tells us how much. I'm a big fan of protein. But I think it tells us how much protein we consume, how big our ratio is out of balance. You know, and I think for some people, this is actually where you can get into juicing, and you can do some cool things with like some celery, you know, is not bad. You add in, you know, maybe a little bit, like half an apple, and then add like a big old scoop of powder, you know, of greens. And then all of a sudden, boom, you've really switched that ratio around where now you have more of the greens and fiber and protein or veggies than you do the protein. Because you want to keep your body alkaline. That's really important. And the more you're eating like the processed foods and sugar foods and even like protein, high protein diets, they tend to make your body more acidic. And we don't want that because that's where a lot of these like really bad conditions, they tend to live in acidic environments. So we want to make it more alkaline. So that's where you can use the green powders to keep your body more alkalinized.
Believe it or not, that actually makes some sense. So now one of the things that my wife, who I think is a genius because she tries to keep me healthy, which is a tough task, but she has me take, and it's awful. I'm telling you right now, it's absolutely awful. Apple cider vinegar. She has me mix it with about 8 ounces of water. I take this every day. I have to slam it because I can't stand the taste of it. But it does that help with your stomach and with things that you're talking about, this alkaline and acidic stuff? Does that help with that?
It does, and that's kind of where you've seen this being so popular for so many years now, is that you're consuming something that helps with the alkalinity and the acid alkaline balance. So it helps with stomach, it helps with digestion, and that's why a lot of people take it for heartburn and reflux and digestive issues, and it works well. And that's kind of what you see a lot of times in our society, is that with sugars and inflammatory foods, we just get very inflamed and acidic. So that's why people have joint pain and muscle pain and nerve pain, and even like headaches can be due to that acidity. So when you start changing somebody's diet and making it more alkalinized, then all of a sudden they're not bloated. Their fingers are feeling better. Their ring fits. Their joints are less achy. They can go for runs. So sometimes it's just that simple. But kind of in traditional medicine, it's like, oh, well, you got to have a pill, you know, for those achy joints. And it's like, no, you just got to maybe do a green powder. that might be the answer.
And I tell you what, she's had me on a green powder. And I don't know what it is, I'll be honest with you, but you feel better after you start taking this stuff for a while.
I think it's all those minerals and vitamins and things that your body has all these chemical reactions. And I think the general public kind of forgets that we're a body, but there's a lot of chemical reactions that are going on, you know, like every second. And so those chemical reactions have to have calcium and potassium and magnesium and zinc and copper and iodine and selenium. And, I mean, all these things. So if you're not providing your body with those things, then how are you supposed to run those systems? So if a system doesn't run properly, then you have byproducts of an improperly ran system. You know, so that those byproducts could be more pain. It could be inflammation. It could be bloating. It could be, you know, just brain fog, you know. And I think we all, even me, I mean, I forget, it's a chemically ran system that has to have the chemicals. And if you don't provide it, where's it going to get it from? I don't know. So then, and actually sugar is a good example. If you don't get enough sugar, then your body actually uses a different system to produce energy, which is very inefficient. And so people then end up with, you know, lactic acid buildup, and they end up, you know, with some other conditions, because they don't have enough sugar to run a system. So that system has to resort to a secondary, less efficient system to run, and then we start seeing the consequences of it.
So when you talk about getting all these vitamins, minerals, and the things that you can get from a green powder or eating vegetables and stuff like that, you can't use the philosophy that I've used for so many years, is that, well, the cow already ate the grass, now I'm eating the cow, so therefore I'm getting my veggies. That doesn't work?
I wish. That'd be awesome. Just have burgers every day. No. You definitely can't do that, because the cow ate the grass to make their system run. So their system was running well, you know. And this is actually, to even tangent a little bit, this is why grass-fed beef is better than corn-fed beef, because, you know, the grass is there's your fiber and there's your nutrients. There's your different minerals for the cow to run efficiently. If you're just feeding a cow corn all the time, its system doesn't run efficiently, and that's why you see the debate between, like, you know, grass-fed versus corn-finished and all these pieces like that. So, I mean, you look at humans, we can be grass-fed or we can be corn-finished, you know, and they finish cows because it gains weight and it makes more money, you know, because they have more fat on the cow, you know. So, yeah, so we can be grass-fed or we can be corn-finished.
Well, Doc, unfortunately, right now I'm looking more corn-fed than grass-fed. and right now I'm talking with chiropractic neurologist Dr. Shane Stedman of Integrated Health Systems, and you can always find them by what's your website, Doc?
So our website is integratedhealthdenver.com, and then also people can find us at Integrated Brain Centers. Ooh. Since we do a lot of concussion rehab, but our integrated health side is more of the functional medicine side, where we work on things like blood sugar and whatnot. So integratedhealthdenver.com and Integrated Brain Centers.
Okay, and that's 303-781-5617. Okay, so as we're talking about blood sugar, I think anytime you talk about blood sugar, people automatically go right to diabetes. You know, they just, for some reason now in our culture, because it seems like everybody is either diabetic or pre-diabetic or something. It just seems like that's the correlation we have now between blood sugar is that with diabetes. Explain to us how blood sugar affects or how you become diabetic, if we even know.
So there's two different ways of becoming diabetic. The one way, which is the most common, is type 2 diabetes. Type 2 diabetes is kind of a process over time in which somebody is consuming too much carbs or too much sugar, and usually is coupled with not getting enough exercise, but not all the time. But you consume so much sugar that your pancreas can't keep up with demand. So you start seeing the input of sugar is greater than the insulin demand that, that your pancreas can provide. So you start getting this imbalance over time. So now you have all this excess of sugar. Your cells inside your body, they actually need sugar to function. But just because you flood your body with a lot of sugar, it doesn't mean the cells take up more sugar. They only take up what they need to function. So if you're sitting around on the couch, then your cells are like, I don't need that much sugar because you're not expending that much energy. Where if you have somebody who's constantly, let's say they're like running, you know, 10 miles a day, well, obviously their cells are blowing through the energy, so they're going to utilize more sugar. So that's why you kind of see this like food slash energy kind of combo. So you have somebody who's inactive but consuming enough sugar as though they were running a marathon, but they're not. They're just sitting there. So your body says, well, the cells don't need more fuel, so what do we do with all this sugar? Well, we don't know what to do with it, so now we just have extra sugar sitting in the bloodstream. So this is your blood sugar. So then your body tries to take that extra sugar and tries to store it. Well, the only place that can store it, you got a little bit in the liver, but then it'll flip it into triglycerides. So then you start seeing the cholesterol numbers go up. So now you have somebody who's inactive, excess blood sugar, so now that's going up. Their cholesterol is going up because all that's being converted into triglycerides. And if this keeps going year after year after year, your whole system's like, I can't do this anymore. Like, you're not active. There's so much sugar in the system, and then you start leading to diabetes. So that's right. Your type 2.
Okay. There's another one. Okay, so, Doc, but I just got to say this. You're blowing my other theory that God, as you look at the human body, that God designed us to sit on our couch. I mean, we were designed perfectly to fit into that couch. But I think what you're saying is that we really need to move, too.
Oh, my gosh. I what I see in the office in general is people that move, they get better faster than people that don't move. You know, and I think people who move generally have less issues than people who don't. I think we are designed to move. I think we're designed to be active. I think we're designed to have a purpose and to help others and to have service. And I think sitting on the couch is definitely not that. And that's definitely my opinion. So I think we have to move. I think our system's designed for that.
Okay, so you blew that theory.
Yep.
But you know, it doesn't have to be rigorous. I think people, correct me if I'm wrong in this, but it doesn't have to be rigorous. I mean, one of the things I've started doing, because I sit all the time, so I drive for Uber and Lyft and I do radio. I mean, there's not a whole lot of exercise involved in the things that I do. But yeah, when I do have an opportunity, I park the car at about the farthest parking spot I can find. So I get that exercise walking into wherever I've got to go. I try taking stairs instead of the elevator when it's possible. Things like that. Do those things help?
Definitely do. They definitely help. And I think you made a good point. It doesn't always have to be rigorous. There's actually some really awesome studies out there that I've read over the years. I think one of them that always blew my mind was they did a study on, it was a medication for depression, and then another group they did walking, and another group they did walking with fish oil. And they actually found that the group that walked and the group that walked with fish oil did better than the patients that were on medication. And I was like, well, that definitely makes a lot of sense.
It does.
So it doesn't have to be rigorous. I think another cool story is, I remember years and years and years ago, there was a patient I was working on, and all of a sudden she just started losing weight. And I'm like, how are you losing so much weight? Like, everything was getting better, and it was almost like getting better without my input. And so she was like, well, my vet said that my dog was overweight, so that I just needed to walk it every day for, you know, like 25, 30 minutes. So she's like, so I was walking my dog. So consequently, she just started losing tons of weight.
And I love it.
Isn't it crazy how, like, a vet, you can go to your vet and, like, hey, your dog's overweight, take it for a walk. You go to the doctor, like, hey, you're overweight, take all these pills. I'm like, ugh.
That's real? Crazy.
I know. I think when I was, my first year in practice, I remember I was talking with a lady, and so you always have to mark, have you lost more than 6 pounds, or how much weight have you lost over the last six months? Because sometimes those ideas, there might be cancer involved. So you ask them these, like, questions, right? And this lady lost I want to say like 60, 70 pounds in 6 months. So my brain's going off like, oh my gosh, there might be cancer. So I'm like, okay, so tell me what happened. And she goes, well, my vet told me that my dog was overweight, that I should eat less or feed my dog a little bit less. So she goes, so I apply that to myself. So she goes, I put smaller portions on my plate.
That worked.
And I was like, yep, it's sometimes
that's amazing.
Simple common sense. But don't eat as much and be more active.
But, you know, the other thing of it is, too, is that if the doctor tells me that I need to walk more, I'll poo-poo it. You know, yeah, right. But if the vet tells me I need to walk my dog more because I love my dog, I'm going to go walk my dog.
100%.
So why is that? Why do we do these things? It's just, it's so funny.
Those are the questions that just blow my mind day after day after day. Yeah, I don't know. That's why we have counselors in our office.
Exactly. Well, Doc, we've only got about a minute and a half or so left. How do you want to wind this thing up? How do you want to end this thing?
You know, I think a couple things. So I think if people aren't familiar, you know, go to our website or go to our Facebook page or any social media. So we do webinars. So we're actually going to do a whole hour-long webinar on blood sugar.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about fasting. That's a whole nother world of fasting and different times, different types, different, you name it. So we're actually going to talk about blood sugar and diabetes and fasting and really kind of dive into that for people. And I think if people are struggling, you know, with losing weight or, you know, if they're struggling with diabetes or pre-diabetes, we're an office that can help out. You know, we just did a re-exam on a patient last week and, you know, his original blood sugar is 179 and on the re-exam was 104. So we definitely know how to work within blood sugar and work on diet and exercise and all those issues that can really kick your butt. So yeah, we do free consultations all day long.
Oh, free consultation. That's huge. Okay. And again, the number is 303-781-5617. Hey, Doc, as always, this has been a lot of fun and very knowledgeable. And thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, man, it's good hanging with you again.
All right, thanks, Dr. Shane Stedman of Integrated Health Systems. Okay, I'm Dan Muir. I've been sitting in for Scott Whatley. Stay tuned right here to KLZ 560.
Call Integrated Health Systems now for a free consultation. 303-781-5617. That's 303-781-5617. To book your consultation online, visit integratedhealthdenver.com. Thank you for listening to Your Health Matters. Be sure to join Dr. Shane Stedman live every Monday at 12:30 p.m. on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.